welcome to Reformation Platform Media. And now, we present to you God's Word, which is able to save your soul. Please, listen with your heart as the servant of God brings us the Word of Life.
You don't have, you just have to make a good choice. Because if you don't, you will have totally set yourself back in a very substantial way in becoming like Jesus. And I'm praying that that will not happen to you in the name of Jesus. As you might be aware, I'm going to be speaking about academic excellence. Academic excellence. And I will look at that in three segments. Biblical foundation. Then, personal preparation. And then we look at the matter of educational obligation. First of all, we set the foundation, biblical foundation. And then we build one story. You know, you set the foundation, then you can build a building. Is that not? And what I believe the Lord wants me to do, with us today is to build a two-story building. So we will not immediately just launch into the matter of academics as if I have come here to come and teach you maths and English, and as if I am trying to now stand and help you to decipher what exactly you are meant to study or what particular aspect of the academia you are meant to be in, if God permits you. But Abraham was saying something that I must reiterate. As you begin to become more like Jesus, one of the things you must escape from is you need to escape from the error that is in this present church. And what is that error? Men who want to sit on Moses' seat over your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? Men who, any decision you want to make, you must pass through them. Meanwhile, we're in the new covenant. There is no mediator other than Christ Jesus. And since the time that Christ Jesus was set as our only mediator to God, many men have also set themselves as mediator between us and Christ. Any man like that is taking us back to the old covenant or to the Old Testament. You must not tolerate that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Please don't tolerate that. Every decision you take in your life, you must be responsible for it. And you see, it is that that makes you holy, that makes you to be like Jesus. If you don't stand in such a place where you are wondering what step you are meant to take concerning a matter, and that is bringing you into the presence of God to tarry and to look at his face and to say, Lord, you know I don't want to miss my way. You know I want to get to the right destination. Do you know that even that activity is making you holy? But when you don't ever have the opportunity to do that, and every time you go to a daddy in the Lord, excuse me, sir, you know, now we have to get married. Please help us check who to marry. Many of you know, as some of us have experienced, when the matter of marriage comes, some of our parents will now start going to some pastors and start going to pray. Hey, Jeba, Agbadura, for more while. Is the right person. So, don't allow any man to deny you the opportunity to become holy. Because holiness means consistent, continued, uninterrupted interaction with God. Anything that will not allow you to keep interacting with God will deny you the opportunity of being holy. Romans 8:29, the Bible says that God predestined us. And what was his predestination? To make us conformed to the image of Christ. To the image of Jesus. So this morning, as I speak about the matter of academic excellence, I want you to know that there's something the Spirit of God is saying concerning that. And we will not just come and tell you what a career counselor will tell you. We won't do that. We will tell you what the Spirit of God wants to say. And that's why a very strong imperative I must bring to you, or a very strong admonition I can bring to you this morning, is please. You remember what the Bible says? It says, if any man has ear to hear, let him do what? Let him hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. The Holy Spirit is saying something to you this morning. You will have ears to hear in the name of Jesus. Can you please bow your head as we pray? Father, Lord, we thank you for drawing us to yourself. We thank you for our senior brother that you gave help to speak to us concerning the matter of choice of a marital partner. Oh God, we are asking you that you will please help us. You will not let us go. You won't let us go astray in that particular matter, in the name of Jesus. Lord, as we look at the matter of academic excellence, please open our eyes that we may see your mind. Let our ears, let it not be closed. Let it not be dull of hearing. Let our heart, don't let it wax gross. That our heart will actually desire the will of God. Like Jesus, the Bible said about him, thou lovest righteousness and hatest iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellow. Lord, give us help in this matter in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Right. Now, I must first of all set a matter before you. You already know what we intend to do. We want to build a two-story building. The first story will be the matter of your personal preparation, it will have a lot to do with your spiritual life, with your standing, your commitment. And the second story will then have to do with the issue of academics. But the foundation, just like you cannot build any building for that matter without setting the foundation must first of all be in place. But I must set a matter before you as we plunge into these issues this morning. What is that matter? The Bible says vanity upon vanity. All is vanity. Don't spend your life chasing after the wind. That's the matter I want to start with. What did I say? Don't spend your life chasing after the wind. Have you seen anybody who, you know, can catch the wind? Somebody can, maybe you want to try now. Just try to catch the wind. You know, the breeze blowing beside you right now. Can you catch it? Can you catch it? No, you cannot. And I believe that the Holy Spirit, as he continues to sit over his church in these closing days, one of the things that he will set you up to do is to ensure that you are not chasing after the wind. You see, when you are chasing after the wind, you are pursuing something you cannot catch. What did I say? You are pursuing something you cannot catch. And you see, your life is a deliberate seed that God had sown into this world. Bible said about Jesus that he was a seed that was sown. Except the corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it will now germinate and it will now bring forth much fruit. I want you to realize that your life is not an accident. Your life is a pre-planned work of God. That's why the Bible says, for we are his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, prepared beforehand for good works. God deliberately planned your life for a specific purpose. Now, when we talk about specific purpose, we are speaking about the matter of specificity. Let me write that down. What am I saying we are speaking about? Specificity. You need to know that your life has a specific target. Now, anyone who does not know that target, what will happen to that person? He will be chasing after the wind. Before you lay a foundation, when you get a plot of land and all of that, and you want to lay a foundation, the first thing you do is you clear the grass. Is that not? You clear the weeds. And I sense that God wants us to clear the weeds in our life this morning. Because we cannot lay this foundation if these weeds that has overgrown our life are still there. You know what the scripture says about Jesus? It says, for there is no other foundation that can be laid than the one that is already laid, which is Jesus. And Paul said, as a wise master builder, I have already laid the foundation. Any man that is building afterwards must be careful how he builds. Do you know that your life is a building that God intends to build? But let me ask you, have you allowed God in heaven to set the foundation for this building? Have you even allowed the supremacy of Christ to settle into your spirit and not to be something that can be debated? Have you allowed the sovereignty of God to be something that cannot be contested, whether by men or by opinions or by cultures or by friendship or by anything that may be attractive around you? Has that settled into your life? You know the way you sink a foundation. When you seek a foundation, it is as if there is finality on a matter. When a foundation is set, there is finality on a matter. Before this building can be built, the foundation must be set. And before this foundation must be set, we must clear the weeds that have overgrown our lives. Let me tell you something about these weeds. In the book of Matthew 13, and I may come to there shortly, and also in the book of Mark, and I think also in the book of Luke, Matthew 13 particularly, the Bible speaks about three things. When the Bible was talking about the seed, and it was talking about the thorny ground, and it said these thorns are what? The cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things. Do you know that the kind of weeds that are growing in many of our lives today, they are not ordinary grass. They are not ordinary something that you can just take cutlass and just cut it mindlessly. What are they? They are thorns. That's why heaven can't do anything serious with such people. How can God allow his foundation to be set on that kind of thing? So God will first of all remove those thorns. Those thorns that they will always choke any attempt of God to do anything with you. They will always do what? They will choke it. So you see, when we talk about the matter of academic excellence, you may think I'm talking about pitting you with somebody else and asking you that you must always get 100% in all the subjects. That's not the matter for us this morning. If that is what we choose to focus on, do you know that we have returned back to the old life where competition reigns? You cannot afford to set yourself on the path of competition, because competition has no place in this new life. Are you hearing me? What did I say? Competition has no place in this new life. You have to be selfish to be competitive. You have to pause the new life and enter back into the old life to be competitive. You have to disable what God is doing in your life and allow the flesh to reign again, to be in competition. And do you know something? There is already an enduring unstoppable, inevitable condemnation of God from heaven to every life that is not according to the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 8 from verse 1. For there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? There is actually a condemnation to those who are not in Christ Jesus. If you go back to John chapter 3, I think from verse 18, the Bible says that the wrath of God abides on a man that does not accept the lordship or the supremacy of Christ. If you go to Romans chapter 1, if you begin to read from verse 17, the Bible says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and all ungodliness of men. Are you hearing what I'm trying to say? So what is the matter we are saying? Competition, it has no place in the new life. So we're not talking about you having 100%. But that doesn't mean you won't have 100%. Do you understand? We can, you see, if we must talk about competition, do you know what we would have to do? We would have to set a separate foundation for your life. And God forbid that we will do that. Are you hearing us? God forbid that we will what? Set a faulty foundation for your life. So that's why the matter that is most supreme in my heart, as I sense that God is speaking about thorns that are already overgrown in many of our lives, is that how is it that you, as a young person, who is not presently, you are not already established. Do you understand? Young, you see, one of the hallmark of young people is our instability. Is the easiness to be swayed by people's opinion. That's why the matter that Brother Abraham was speaking about, Ephesians chapter 4, was a crucial matter. Until we come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. As a young person, and as somebody who is pursuing Jesus, one of the things that must be established in your life is this matter. The Living Bible says it this way. It says, those who are always changing their mind because somebody else has told them what? Something different. We can't afford to allow you to go like that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You cannot. Do you know that the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, they are actually the plans that the enemy has for you. And that is what he intends to build with your life. So if I am pointing you to competition, what am I pointing you to? I am setting your heart to begin to worry about, yes, I need to make more money. To begin to worry about, yes, when some money is coming in, then you are now thinking of how you can be better than others, how you can have more luxuries. And once you are having luxuries, then what is the next thing? You see, once mammon has taken his place in somebody's life and is sitting on the throne of somebody's life, every other sin can enter. Every other lust can do what? Can enter. So what am I trying to talk about? I'm trying to say that the devil, as he seeks also to build your life, what does he want to build first of all? He wants to lay the foundation of cares of this world. Alright? That's the foundation he wants to lay. And you know, it is so innocent to have cares. I mean, it's only if you are not a human being that you will not have cares. Is that not? But you see, once you cross over, you see, crossing over into the new life is a permanent, it brings about a permanent damage to every plan that the devil has for you. So that's why we are checking the matter. Have you really, really crossed over from death to life? Where all the thorns that can be choking men that are in the hands of the devil will not also be choking you? And where every decision you must make about academics, for instance, what are you thinking about? What is that course I must study?
that will ensure that me too I will not suffer in this life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What is that, you know, a particular department I can join? Well, of course, in secondary school, but when you get to the university, what is that faculty I must be in? What is that course I must study that will put me on the top in the world? So you see, the cares of this life, let me tell you something. As a child comes out of the womb of a mother, this thing is hanging on the neck of that child. What is that? The cares of this world is hanging on the neck of every newborn babe. Are you hearing me? No baby comes out of his mother's womb without this. And once he comes out and he comes to our stage, and this one has taken space and taken root and all that, then there's another thing to be built on it. The four story building is what? Deceitfulness of riches. And then the next story is what? Lust. Of other things. Are we together? Are you with me this morning? Cares of this world. Deceitfulness of riches. Lust of other things. But what are we trying to build? What is God trying to build in our life? Right? So this is the biblical foundation that God wants to build in our lives. This is the first story of it. This is the second story of it. Are you following me this morning? I hope I'm not too slow for you. It's just that I'm trying to allow the issue that is ontomba onfa ninu aye. Do you understand that? I don't know how to say that in English. The thing that everybody is struggling with, everyone born of woman, I'm trying to show you that so that you can also see where you are struggling with it in your own heart. And I'm trying to show you that once these things are in somebody's life, of course, that's when we'll be talking, telling you about, yes, you must look at the best course, you know, you must look at how to get 100%. And you would think I'm criticizing the amount of 100%, and I will get to the point where I speak about the academic itself. But as I studied the Bible about this matter of academic excellence, I realized. Now, you see, I need to tell you something. And that will help some of us who God will also give opportunity to present the word of God to people. Anything, any topic you are given to speak about, don't have an opinion about that thing. Do you understand? Once you have an opinion, do you know what you have done? You have shut down the spirit of revelation. Heaven will not be able to speak to you about that thing. As I studied the Bible about the matter of academic excellence, I realized that I was not first of all confronted with the matter of, you know, what is that subject, you know, how should I do it, you know, should I get 100%? That was not the first matter I saw as I looked at the book of Daniel, because that's the most profound book about the matter of academic excellence. You know how the Bible speaks about Daniel, that it was a man who had the spirit of excellence. Can you stand up? A man that has the spirit of excellence. And you see, let me settle this in your mind. In Daniel chapter 1, when the Bible speaks about the four of them, did you know that they did not tell us that Daniel was the first position, then Mishael was what? Second position, then Azariah was what? Third position, then who is the last person? Ananias is the first. No, they didn't tell us that. They only said, out of all the people in Babylon, Bible said that the king found out that only these four people, they were the best in all questions you ask them. In no matter of wisdom and of business that you bring to them, they were what? They were the best. Do you know what I saw in that? I realized that God is not looking at pitying you with this sister so that you cannot have 100% and you are struggling and saying, no, I will beat her. She is also saying, no, I must beat him. And then eventually somebody is ahead of the other. That's not what God is looking at. Did you know that four of them, they will have had their marks and they might have gotten something better than each other? But that was not what heaven was showing to us. So we must always look at what heaven is showing to us. So that's why I am first of all looking at the matter of foundation. Biblical foundation. So turn your Bibles with me. Sorry, you have not turned your Bible since. Sorry. Psalm 127. Psalm 127. Please sit down. From verse 1. Psalm 127. Verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain. So I want you to note. Do you know the Bible says, whose building we are? We are all God's building. And we are seeing a serious matter. It says, except, unless, if it is your building, that's when you can build it. But because your life is God's building, who must be the one building? Who must be the one building? The Lord. So, it says it with so much finality that except the Lord builds the house, anything you choose to build, what are you doing? Vanity. They labor in vain that build it. You don't want to come to the end of your life and look at all the things you have labored for and how much you chose to be the best in school. See, the matter of academic excellence, you need to allow it to die first of all. Let it die. So that when it now dies and it now resurrects, there is newness of life in the matter of academic excellence for you. You are not pursuing academic excellence so that you can be the best. Do you know what you are doing? As I will show you shortly, academic excellence, according to the Bible, is only for people whom God has given a specific mandate to do something in a specific field of endeavor in life. So that's why, you know, that academic excellence is about knowledge. In the Bible, God does not always, first of all, speak about knowledge. God will always speak about wisdom first. And do you know many times when you hear wisdom, do you know what you think about? What we think about? We think about somebody whose head is full of great ideas. Is that not what we hear people preach to us? You hear some wisdom precept for something, wisdom for breakthrough, wisdom for this, wisdom, and it's all about ideas. And as you see, I want to beg you in the name of Jesus, when you are reading the Bible, just hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Do not allow the things you have heard from other men to condition what you can hear in the Bible. Do you understand that that's a serious matter? If you are not careful about what you are hearing, the things you hear that are faulty, that the doctrines are faulty, they can condition what you hear from the Bible. Are we together? Are we together? Are you with me? Are you with me? Now, God is saying it with such finality that your life is His own building. And who must be the builder? God Himself. So, remain where God has placed you. So there are two matters I want you to see. First of all, I want you to understand that God must be sovereign over your life. So that's divine sovereignty. And the other matter is human responsibility. Divine sovereignty, human responsibility. What you have to do in life, what I have to do. You see, I am not telling you things that I am not presently pursuing. I am not perfect, but I am pursuing this matter. I want heaven
to be sovereign over every matter of my life. Because my own work, my own responsibility, my duty is to do what? Is to only carry out what heaven has what? Initiated. That's what the Bible said about Jesus in John chapter 6 and verse 38. John chapter 6 verse 38. I did not come down from heaven to do my own will. Are you hearing that? But to do the will of my Father who sent me. So you see, you dropped from heaven with a specific assignment, which means your life has a specific target, which means that target is a specific field of endeavor in life. Once you have first of all discovered that is when you will now start looking at how shall we get there. Are you hearing me? So God always puts wisdom first before what? Before knowledge. Because do you know the reason? In Proverbs 24 from verse 30, the Bible says by wisdom a house is what? It's built. You see, God that is building your life intends for you who must now respond based on what God intends to do, that it drops in your spirit. He intends for you to respond as a wise man. So by wisdom a house is built, by understanding it is what? Established. By knowledge all the rooms are filled with precious things, precious materials. So you see that knowledge comes last. Do you know the reason why? Because if you don't allow God to first of all set your life on a specific direction, which will mean that the greater percentage of the knowledge of this world would have been deleted for your life. That is, they would be out of your circumference of living. Do you understand? Because of the particular area of life that God has sent you to. If you don't allow God to do that, you will be drowned by the knowledge that we have in this world. The Bible says that at the end of the time, the world will be filled, you know, with knowledge like water covers the sea. You know that? You can't afford to do that. You are not meant to know everything. You are only meant to fulfill God's purpose for your life. And once you have discovered that will now determine which of all the knowledge that we have in this world you should pursue. And when you are pursuing them, you are not pursuing them so that you cannot have a name. You are pursuing them because you are using this knowledge to solve a problem that heaven has sent you to solve. That's why I have divided wisdom into two. Wisdom, as I look and I search for it and I search in the Bible, it is divided into two. There is devotional wisdom. There is devotional wisdom. Then there is occupational wisdom. There is what? Devotional wisdom. And there is occupational wisdom. Do you know the reason why it's like that? Wisdom in the Bible, like I told you just now, is not about knowing many things. Wisdom simply means obedience. Do you understand? Obedience. That's why in the book of Matthew, I want us to read that scripture. Go to the book of Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 from verse 24. Matthew 7 from verse 24. Yes. No, it's okay. Thank you. Verse 27. Thank you very much. Who is a wise man according to Matthew chapter 7 that we read? He said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and what? Doeth
then. So when we're talking about wisdom, we're talking about your obedience to every demand that God is placing on you. That is devotional wisdom. You see, devotion is a word that speaks about what your life is pursuing. And by the nature of devotion, you can't pursue two things. By the what? By the nature of devotion, you cannot pursue two things. That's why the Bible clearly said that you cannot serve God and what? All these three things that you see here, what are they after? What are they after? Are they after the Lord? If all these three things are in somebody's life, is that person pursuing the Lord? Who is this person pursuing? Every child comes out of his mother with this foundation hanging on his neck. So that's why every child born of woman, every one born of woman is what? A sinner, even though they have not committed sin. Do you understand that? So somebody with this life cannot be pursuing Jesus. He can only pursue mammon. So by the nature of devotion, devotion speaks about affection, the love, the desire of your life. And desire has to be one. Do you understand? So that's why the two desires given, as if just like God was speaking in the Old Testament, you know, I present before you life and death, choose life. So God is presenting the only two available desires for all men. And what are these desires? God Almighty. And what? Mammon. So devotional wisdom talks about everything God is saying to me. Am I obedient to it? Am I doing it? Then we now come to the matter of occupational wisdom. Occupational wisdom is this: by wisdom a house is built, by understanding it is established, by knowledge all the rooms are set with precious things and precious materials. So occupational wisdom means you shouldn't pursue a knowledge, alright, that God has not given you the instruction concerning that knowledge. Let me phrase it this way. If God hasn't spoken to someone or hasn't given someone a leading concerning, okay, you will serve in this particular field of life for me, and this is what you are going to do there for me, it is because that person is going to be doing something. So wisdom is always about what? Doing something. So because God shows you the future from the beginning, then you have to now come back to the present where you find yourself and pursue the knowledge that will enable you to solve those problems as you get closer to the future. Are you hearing what we are saying? Occupational wisdom. The fact that this is the assignment that God has decided for your life. Alright? And you have now accepted to pursue that assignment. That acceptance in itself is an action that you have taken. And that action now requires that you need to now pursue the type of knowledge that will now get you to be able to solve that problem. Let me give you an example. See, but Abraham is working on some books. Now, and he tells us many times that he is amazed at the rate at which he is improving with, you know, the way he is able to maneuver skills and all of that. He is amazed. Now, do you know what I'm bringing out from that? The issue is, if it was not God that gave him the conviction that you should do this thing, do you know that he would have to go and be struggling with his mates in the world before he can now prove that he's number one? But because there is something God wants to use, God wants to do with that thing he's doing. Of course, you know he's working on June 12 book. You know, because God has a reason for asking him to do it. It is God that supplies him the skill and the ability to be able to do it in the right way and to be able to excel above his peers. So you see, when you follow the pattern, so I'm coming to three things. I'm sorry, it's as if I'm always coming in threes. Now, The sequence of life is this. Sequence of life. Wisdom. Alright? Understanding. Then, knowledge. That's the sequence of life. Wisdom first. Then, understanding. Then, knowledge. When I talk about career choice, I will be elaborating on the matter of understanding. We get wisdom. You know what God wants to do with your life, and you have accepted to pursue it, because wisdom is not complete if you just know. If you just know what God wants you to do, but you have not accepted it, it's not complete. Wisdom will be complete when you now accept and you now start working. That's wisdom. Understanding is, you know, because you don't get to know everything. You keep understanding more and more as the day goes by. Then that will now determine the kind of knowledge you will pursue in your life. Are we setting the biblical foundations now? Are we setting the biblical foundation? You see, concerning devotional wisdom, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, Hebrews 4, 15, the Bible says about Jesus, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." So this is talking about your own personal life. Am I obeying God in my own personal life? That's the first area of wisdom. Then the second area of wisdom is the area of the assignment of God for your life. And Jesus said about himself in John chapter 9 and verse 4. He says that I must do the works of him that sent me while it is day. Because the night is coming when no man can walk. Are you with me this morning? That's the foundation. So you have seen that God is specific about your life. And also, see your life as an arrow in God's hand. And God that wants to shoot your life, he has a specific target he's planning to shoot you to. Is that not? If we go back to the matter of marital, the matter of choosing the right partner, do you know that once you are that arrow in God's hand, that God is planning, that God is shooting to a specific target, do you know that immediately meant that there is a path, there is a ready-made path for you to take in life? And if you walk in the path that God has marked out for you in life, everything you need in life is on that path. That's why you cannot afford to pursue knowledge when you do not know what is the target of God for my life. Because if you pursue knowledge, do you know what knowledge will do? What did I say when I began? It's a chase. You are chasing after the wind. And can you catch the wind? Since you are chasing after the wind, the only thing that happens to people who chase after the wind is what the Bible tells us in Ephesians. It says that we'll be no longer children. Plus what? To and fro. It will be chasing you. It will be turning you here and there. And once you are being torn, you are being, you know, thrown here and there, can God focus on that life? A life that is not in God's hand, so that God can do what? He can shoot it. God can't focus on that type of life. So, once that life is being tossed to and fro, it cannot walk in the path that heaven has marked out for it. Now, so this is where I'm coming to. If you refuse to first of all understand the target of God for your life, do you know the devil? He also has counterfeits of everything God has planned for you. You are going to be married, perhaps. Are you going to be married? Okay. That wife is on that path that God has planned for you. What you are meant to do with your life, every single thing. But if you don't follow that path and you follow another path, do you know what will happen? There will also be a woman for you there. Are you hearing me? There will be a woman for you there. There will be a job for you there. There will be breakthrough for you there. You see, that's why I hate it when people are reading the Bible and people will not preach to us something that will convict our hearts.
in the history of the Church of Jesus Christ, miracle has never made anybody spiritual. And miracle has never made anybody to become more like Jesus. That's why we don't seek after miracles. In fact, it's a daily lifestyle. Do you understand? It's not something to be emphasized. So when somebody says, God has called them, I'm sorry, I'm diverting to that. That God has called them to perform miracles. I'm thinking if God has said that my only purpose for everyone that has been born into the new life is Romans 8:29. To conform them to the image of the Son of God. If God has said that's his only purpose, can he now also come again and say his purpose now is to be healing people? I'm not saying people will not be healed. I'm not saying people will not have miracles. But the purpose of God, let it sink deep into it. See, I'm taking them to build this foundation. If I don't do anything, that's enough. If that foundation sinks deep into your life, when the wind is blowing, according to Matthew chapter 7 that we read, and the wind blew and the storm came, what happened to the house that was not built on the foundation called Christ? What happened to it? It fell apart. That's what is happening to many people today. They are falling apart, yet because they are rich, you think nothing evil is happening to them. Because they are looking chubby and looking fine, as if that is the ticket to heaven. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm speaking to you about the matter of being on target with your life. It says, like the arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. That's why many of us here are young people. Is that not? You are an arrow in God's hand. The most important thing for you now is you are saying, God, how can you help me? So that my eyes can be set on the target you have prepared or pre-planned for my life. See, when we are talking about that, that will put you into many disagreements with people. Are you hearing me? It will make many people not to understand your life. Because while your other friends are going this way, what are you doing? You are standing. You are saying, no, this is the target of heaven for my life. Because once you follow them, what will happen? Before you come back again, time has gone over your life. You will not lose time in the name of Jesus. You must beg God to help you concerning this matter. Do you know that every time you make a wrong decision, you are making it impossible for yourself in the future to make a right decision? Are you listening to me? The more you make a wrong decision today, by going the way heaven is not sending you, do you know what is happening to you? You are weakening your capacity to make the right decision tomorrow. That's why, do you note that when you just take even if it's a small decision, but it's a right decision according to the will of God, do you know what happens? There is boldness in your spirit to press on, to move on. I remember when I actually resigned from my job. How many years ago? 4 years ago now. Almost 4 years ago. When I look back to that, I realize that the reason why it seems as if it will not be difficult for me to make a right decision is because I didn't waste the opportunity then. If I had followed that life then, do you know that I will be on a particular path? I will find a woman there. I will find some kind of fulfillment there. But what's happening? Am I on target? No. Your life, you cannot say that your life is on target when you know, according to your conscience, that this is not what heaven has sent me to do. Even though you are having comfort and having conveniences. Are you hearing me? So, concerning the matter of being on target, I want to tell you 3 things that you need. Very, very important. 3 things. I didn't write them down. Because being on target, it will mean that you are standing like this, the wind is blowing, but you are saying, I'm standing up on the rock that never fails. That's what you are saying. As the wind is blowing, and it's blowing some of your friends here, it blew some of them to America, and you think they have gone to have a good life. They have only gone to waste. He has blown some other people to some other place, and every time you are seeing them, your heart is longing after what they have, as if they have something. People who have no hope in this, they have no hope or no God
in this world, and you are longing after that. See, what we are dealing with is so that God can help, so that in your heart you are not pursuing this matter again. Physically speaking, we may be seeing you as if this brother, God has helped him. He's no longer pursuing the deceitfulness of preaching, but it may still be in your heart. Because when the Bible spoke about it in Matthew 13, it was not speaking about what we see people doing physically. What was in the heart of somebody? The thorn called the cares of this life. When your mommy now speaks, she will wake you up early in the morning. Do you know what that does to you? It will resume. It will reactivate what? The cares of this life in your heart. So if you don't understand the three things I want to say, when your mom, you see, your parents, they don't have to shout on you. Because of the reality of being your parent, there is a power they have over you that you may not understand. Such that when they speak to you, you will feel compelled to follow it. But were they the one that made you? Ha. What about friends? What about uncles? You need to be careful about that. They will not understand many things, but that doesn't mean you won't be polite. You will be polite, but you know what you are saying? I can't use my life to do what? To be pursuing the cares of this world. It is an abomination. God abominates it for me to use my life to pursue the cares of this world. Once you have pursued the cares of this world, the next stage, when you get the cares of this world like this, as if you can get it. When you get it like this, you know the next thing you will pursue? Deceitfulness of riches. You are now pursuing how to have the better car, how to have the better house, how to have this. See, we are setting this in your heart so that as a disciple of Jesus, that once you are doing this, you can't be like Jesus. Are you hearing me? Once you are doing that, any academic excellence you may have, it will only be according to this world standard. And then the lust of other things. We want your life to be how? To be on target. To be on target. It will mean that you will stand. Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, stand therefore, having your loins girt with what? The belt of truth. You have to keep putting on the belt of truth. Do you know the meaning of that? That's the first thing I want to tell you. The first, you see, they happen to be in C. The first C I want to tell you is the matter of consecration. You must not release and loosen the belt of consecration. That's even if you have that belt. Many of us don't have that belt called consecration. You are just going bulung balang, anywhere the wind is blowing you, that's where you are going. But a man that is following Jesus, that has seen the invisible, like Jesus in Hebrews chapter 12, he says, because he saw the joy that was set before him, as a man that, or a woman, a young person, you are seen. This is why I was sent. If for this cause was I born. You will say, like Esther said, if I perish, I what? I perish. God can help. See, don't say I'm a young person. That's why I cannot become stable. Young people, we are associated with instability. But I'm telling you, a young person in God's hand can become stable. That's why the Bible says in the book of Psalm 144 or Psalm 114, it says that our sons be like what? Be like, I've forgotten it. But the daughters be like pillars in the temple. That our sons be like great oaks planted. And our daughters be like pillars in the temple. So that is talking about you taking your stand in God. Because the matter of remaining and staying true to this target that God has pointed you to demands conviction. That's the second thing. But there is no conviction that can stand the test of time without consecration. You need to note that. Every conviction that will never fall victim, every conviction that will never be shattered, by anything in this world, do you know what is carrying that conviction?
There is a consecration in the secret.
A consecration where, you see, the place where you and God were alone, and God is reminding you and calling your name, and is calling your name like this, you know, the way your father will call your, that's your original name. That place where you are alone with God, and God is calling your name and say, Titi, so run thing, get him most often. Do you understand that? That's the place of consecration. When you are hearing God speaking to you as if he's speaking to you in your native language, that is what gives you boldness and gives you strength. And that's what makes you hold on to your conviction. Consecration. We must have that. Jesus, the Bible said, when he perceived that they were going to come and make him a king, do you know what he did? The Bible says he withdrew to the wilderness, to the mountain, to be alone. Do you know the meaning of that? When he sensed in his spirit that people are going to now, they are going to misdirect him. They are going to take him to where God was not asking him to go. Did God send Jesus Christ to come and be a king? Eh? That even that proves the error of having a title. That we have so much, we are sitting on Latibati, you know, church and sin. Do you understand? It negates the matter of title. Jesus didn't collect a title. He was their king, actually, but he was not that type of king. So you must understand, you know, you must be able to, God must be able to help your conscience such that before men, friends, family people, parents come to you to plead with you or to compare you and say, please go this way, yes, of this word, omo our buro re omo talo ma toju won, do you understand? Before they come, what must you do? Withdraw and beware. Go to the mountain to be alone with God. Consecration. That's why the matter of spiritual life is so fundamental. Because Daniel 1:8. Remember, Daniel proposed where? In his heart. That he will not defile himself with what? The king's. He will not defile himself. Do you understand? That was the first matter I saw in the book of Daniel. It was not his academic excellence that I saw. That was what God was pointing to. And that's what I'm saying that God is also pointing you to, so that your life can be on target. Something else I want to tell you is that, did you know that these three, four men, they were not the only men that came from Judah? Did you know that? Did you know that there were several people that were brought in captivity to Babylon? Why is it that it was only these four men, Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, that Bible said about them, they didn't defile themselves? Why? Because the rest, once they saw the what was available in the world system, that is what I called at a point, I called it the diet, the royal diet, which is godliness. The royal what? Diet. That is, this word has a royal diet for you. Do you understand that? See, what the word places before you is not something rickety. It's not something that you will see and you say, no, me, this one, how can I? No. And everything the word places before you is something that can catch your heart. But before something catch your heart, go to the place where your heart is what? Tied down. So that when you are now confronted with the goodies of this world, because your heart is already where? That's what happens. If somebody is in a relationship, you have promised to marry this person, Abi, and you two of you are meant to marry, and you have submitted to leadership of senior people in the Lord, and they are encouraging you and counseling you, can you be so stupid when you are in a relationship with a lady and still be having eyes to be noticing on that sister? Is that possible? Once you are doing that, you will also be among those people that Brother Abraham said that when they now get married, fornication that they didn't do when they were not married, they will now do it in form of what? Adultery. A woman who is in relationship and is headed towards marriage, no matter how fine that brother is, how rich, how prospective, will that move her?
Because our heart has been what? Given to that man. That's what consecration does to you. If your heart, if you don't know the place where people's heart can be tied down, so that when you come out publicly and the wind of this world is blowing people, making them to pursue money, and they are getting and they are laughing and they are putting themselves on poster and they are riding the big car, and when they wind down their glass, they are smiling at you as if that's heaven. Do you understand that? What is that? That's somebody that his heart has been captured by this world system. If you don't know that place where people's heart can be tied down, that same thing will happen to you. Consecration. Are we together? Consecration. It is vital. The next thing is conviction. Because once there is consecration in your spirit, once you come out of the place of consecration, do you know what you are coming out with? You are coming out with conviction. Praise the Lord. So, if there is no consecration, how can we now have convictions? Let me tell you what a conviction is. A conviction is a decision that you brought to the presence of God so that everyone can do what? Can stamp it. That's a conviction. A decision that you brought to God's presence. Because you are only able to realize that I need to make this decision because you have a consecration with God. And then once you have convictions, I cannot start speaking to you about the fact that even conviction, it has different outputs. It has different what? Outputs. In Matthew 13, the Bible says some have 30-fold, some have 60-fold, some have what? But what determines the output of conviction? Or the strength of conviction is determined by the height of consecration. So as we climb up, as we become more devoted to Jesus in our hearts, our conviction will be more. We're going up to be getting stronger and stronger. And then the last thing is custom. Your behavior before people. Of course, your behavior before people is the summation, is the aggregation or the addition of these first two. Your consecration and your conviction. It determines your custom, your way of life that people know you with. Are we together? Are you with me? I'm not hearing you now.
Ah.
What's happening? Oh, is it what we are talking about? It is well with us in Jesus' name. Now, let me, before we give time for question, talk to you about, because all the things I've said has come under personal preparation. We've spoken about biblical foundation, personal preparation. See, education obligation. Sorry, these things, they are sounding. What you need to do educationally, do you understand? It's simple. I don't know how to tell you that this is the career to choose. I don't know how to tell you that this is how to study your books. What we see in the Bible is just that these four men, they did what? The Bible said they read books. According to Daniel 1 from verse 17 to 20, the Bible said they did what? But you know, we have settled the matter of reading. Because what God sets your life to achieve determines what you will what? Is that simple? So there's nothing about studying. We don't need to tell you how to study. Just read. Because once you know the target God has set for your life, you know what that does to you? It fills your spirit with passion. Nobody will beg you to read for that thing. It's not for something they will pay you in this world that you are reading for that thing. Do you know? Why are you reading for that thing? You know that you are going to stand before God and you are longing for eternal reward. But even there is something bigger than eternal reward. In the new covenant, we are not focused on punishment or rewards.
Because that was the system of the old covenant. If I obey God, God will reward me. If I disobey God, God will do what? Punish me. In the new covenant, what we focus on is how we just please Jesus. It's our love for Jesus. That's what we focus on. So we pursue that assignment. We focus on that target, which fills us with passion to read the books we need to read so that we can perform in that area of life, not even primarily because of the eternal reward, but because how can you disgrace Jesus? How can you disappoint him? See, when you think about how he saved you, how you were on your way to hell, what else can you do for him again? But to do what? He said, my son, can you manage this thing for me? Is that too much? Can your life just focus on this target? Is that something? You were on your way to hell and he saved you. Do you understand that? But you see, even though that's the reason, because that would determine the force of your movement towards that target. Your love for Jesus will determine your force. But you see, you get to heaven, you have rewards. Educationally, when I look at Daniel and the three other brothers, do you know what I saw in their life? I will tell you, there are three things. I saw that their life was under a peculiar influence. The first thing you need to note about your educational pursuit is influence. The second thing you need to note is diligence. The third thing you need to note is this matter of excellence. So it's like a sequence. That is the sequence, or that is the order that God has set for academic pursuit. What influence is upon your life? Are you hearing what I'm saying? These four men were under heavenly influence. And because they were under heavenly influence, they were diligent. Bible said Daniel read books and he understood books. And because he was reading books that are in alignment, all right, in association to what God has planned for him to do, what did God do in return for him? Bible said God gave Daniel the ability to interpret dreams. You see that? We can see, as you are pursuing that particular aspect in the academia that God wants you to pursue, how do you know that this thing you are pursuing, it is heaven's influence that is pushing me to pursue it? When you see God responding to you by giving you things that you can, that humanly speaking you cannot get. Daniel got the ability to interpret dreams. From who? From God. As a reward of reading materials that are only in agreement, that are only meant for that particular area of life that God asked him to do what? To pursue. So what are these three things we have spoken about? Heavenly influence, number one. Secondly, diligence. Thirdly, excellence. So it's important for us to remain under heavenly influence. So let me conclude by telling you that because God had set a day that he will judge all men. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God has set what? A day that he will judge all men. Bible says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, what do we do? What do we do? We are persuading men. You yourself, you will even persuade yourself. Are you on your way to the university? You need to now settle down and say, what is the target of God for my life? Let me tell you that many times, actually when you look at our lives, God, in his infinite mercy, plans some space of failures. Let me explain that to you. He gives chance. He has planned it into your life that, okay, that, you know, God, many times many of us are in a season of confusion. It has been planned into our life. But don't allow that time to be too long. Once it becomes too long, what will happen? You become useless. The target that God wants you to hit
is waiting. You are not ready. What will God do?
He will get something else or somebody else. To do what? To shoot to that target. Are we together?
So we don't delay God. We don't go our own way. Heaven takes initiative. What do? We follow the directive. We obey. They decide. So what am I supposed to go and study in university? Are you looking at that matter you are studying and it's just something that makes no sense to you? Why are you pursuing itself? Doesn't make sense to you. You need to know what area of life. That's why you note that all of us, we don't have the same proficiencies. Do we have the same proficiencies? No. Some people love physics, but others don't. Like me, the only thing I saw in the whole of academic, the only thing I saw was English. Do you understand? I just like it. But you see, you can't even determine the target that God has decided to shoot your life to based on what you like. What you like, it will still have a place in God's assignment too, because God decides how it will be used. It is God that decides all these things. I want us to now pray before we start asking questions. Let us pray about all of this. The biggest error or disappointment that can happen is for us to hear all these things and still be confused. Could it be possible that you are hearing this matter and it's as if you have gotten more confused? That's not a problem. You are coming with a different mindset initially. So you are, that confusion is just a reaction. It's just a reaction. Mary, when the angel spoke to her, highly favored of God, the Lord is with you, Bible says, she said, what manner of greeting is this? She was confused. But she spoke in faith. What did she say? Be it unto me according to your word. So if you can respond, can you just speak to God and say, Lord, be it unto me according to your word. When she got to Elizabeth's house and the baby in Elizabeth leaped up, Elizabeth told her, as you entered, the baby in my womb leaped up. And at that moment, Mary began to understand. Don't worry. You only need to respond in faith now. As you respond in faith, the Lord will point an Elizabeth to you. An Elizabeth that you will now go. Somebody who is ahead of you in the pursuit of God's assignment for his own life. Somebody who is not confused. That's your Elizabeth. Your Elizabeth is a man or a woman that he has gone ahead of you in the matter of pursuing God's will for his life. In the matter of his own usefulness in the world system. He has gone ahead of you. You will now go. God will point you to that one. But the matter now is what? Be it unto me according to your word. Be it unto me according to your word. What are you asking the Lord to make permanent in your life? You are saying, Lord, that target you have set for my life, I will not miss it. Not only will you miss it, your mouth, you see, you are an arrow in God's hand. And if the mouth of an arrow is blunt, even if it is short to the target, it will not eat it. You cannot afford to be blunt. So you are begging God, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, let them not be able to have a hold over my life. I want you to please plead with Jesus. You cannot afford your life to be blunt. Oh, even though you have agreed that, yes, I want to pursue this target, your life must not be blunt. Your life must not be blunt. Oh God, help me not to be blunt. Every time you allow the cares of this world to settle on your spirit, what does it do? It blunts your edge. It blunts you. It makes you blunt. heaven, we have to close shop over that life at that moment. Deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things, it blunts the mouth of your life that is meant to eat the targets. Lord, please help me. Speak to Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. I want you to say, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, God speaks to some people in parables. Are you listening? God does what? Speaks to some people in parables. Why is it that God cannot be plain with some of us? In Matthew 13, the Bible says that he spoke to the crowd in what? But when the disciples came, what did he do? He explained all these things to them. Can you cross over and become a disciple of Jesus? So that your life that seems to be a parable can become what? Can become plain to you. Did you know that everything in your life, this dot, it's like a little child that has, you know, what do you call it? Jigsaw puzzle. You have all the pieces set aside and you have the, what do you call it? The frame. What is that child now doing? Fix it one by one and start fixing. Once you become a disciple of Jesus, you will not sit down there and be clueless. You will be taking each piece of your life, each experience you've had in the past, you will know that God gave you that experience for a purpose. Each training you have had, everything, what will you do now? You will now take each of them and be what? Fixing them. When you finish doing that, what will happen? You're happy because everything now makes sense. I want you to pray and say, Lord, I don't want to remain in that place where men only hear you speaking in parables. I don't want to remain in that place even though I'm hearing you, but it is still in parables. Where I do not understand my life. I don't understand. I don't even know where it's going. Why can I not understand? Why can I not put 1 + 2 together and understand that it is for this cause that God has done this? It's for this cause that God has brought this and this and this and that together. Ask the Lord to help you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Right. Before we pray the final prayer, so if you have questions you want to ask, even if there are some that we cannot answer, there are senior brothers behind who will be able to answer these questions. So, since we have spoken and it might not be exactly what you might be looking for, might not be exactly how to be brilliant, please, you may use this time to express your confusion, if there are confusions. Alright, express it in the form of a question. Do you have any question to ask? You have a question. Please give our sister the mic.
Praise God. My question is it not possible for a Christian to go to university and make a first class out of it and still is a Christian? Because you mentioned that education excellence, real excellence, is for particular people that God is going to use. Probably they are going to work in that excellence, something like that. You mentioned it. So is it not possible for a Christian to have a first class in university?
Right. I think that's part of why we need to ask this question, so that I will not be taken out of context. Is that okay? So if you are confused about something, this question time will be very good for us. Now, is it not possible for a Christian to have first class? That brother that is in the university now, that his life is already on the way to first class. If we sit him down here and ask him, bro, why is it that it's this first class you want? Do you know what he will tell us? What is the reason? Why? Why do you want first class? Do you know that many of them will not be able to say that it's just because I want to glorify Jesus? Do you understand? If you ask them, many of them, it will not even be because they just want to have first class. Many of them, do you know what's in their mind? You don't know what's in their mind. I want somebody here who knows what's in their mind. Eh? Eh? Eh-heh. Do you understand? So you see, the matter of first class, let's finish that matter. What is the calculation going on in your mind making you bent on a first class? That's the first thing I want to focus on. You see, in the new covenant, we focus more on the heart than on what people do physically. So instead of, rather for me to just tell you that yes, a Christian can have first class, we want to peruse and find and probe, why is that person after first class? If you want to answer us just casually, what is first class? It's just like eating. Just like a white man eats every day. Do you not eat every day? The brother or the people that are first class, just like they have one head, that's the same way the person that had third class has what? So there's nothing about first class. Do you understand? If now, if by, see, there are some people that God, in the way and manner God intends to use them, they will need the first class. There are some people like that. Are you listening to me? And they will not, it's not because they even knew that they were first class. What do you know, that there are some people who they don't even read for exam, they just sit the exam and they're always on top of the class. What is that? Whereas others who are reading. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't read. But others who are now, you know, saying, yes, this time I'm a minimum, might be first, sir. What happens again? This one that didn't read has done what? He has gotten first class again. So, am I setting it aside now? So, I don't know, but Abraham wants to say something. Please. Yeah. Sorry, but Abraham wants to say something.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You see, the matter that she raised and his response will make me say something I didn't plan to say before. Yeah, we don't, in Nigeria, we don't read to know. We read to cram so that when we get to exam, I know it too. Are you getting it? Can a Christian get first class? Why shouldn't a Christian get first class? Are you getting it now? I have the mind of Christ. How will me and somebody that's go sit down to do something and it beats me? It's because we don't know who we are. Are you getting it now? So, the matter of getting first class, as he said before, why? And I want to use a personal example to explain something to you. My publisher, the people that publish, my books, he was talking to me and he was saying that, Abraham, do this book that when men see it, let God be glorified. Let your children be proud that I'm associated with this man. And that changed my mentality. When men take the book, let them do what? To glorify. So God can give a person like this. It wasn't about money. But Can you be excellent and money will not pursue you? Eh? I don't take every job. Oh. I don't do what? Eh? People that are close to me, I ask them. I work maybe once in 2 or 3 months. I'm saying the secular job I do on the sides. Eh? And if you cannot pay heavily based on my worth, I cannot work with you. Because I won't let you waste my time. Are you getting it now? There are prices that I paid to get to that point. And I wasn't trying to be excellent so that I can make so much money. You understand? Then I can buy the next Jeep and build a house, have a landed property in Lekki. You know, such shallow dreams. I'll travel to America to go and shop. I don't live for small things like that. Are you getting it? The day you start to understand that, why you want to have first classes, let them see somebody that is a Christian. Eh? And yet, is excellent in every way. But when the Christian is the one that has the highest carryover, when I was on campus, I would go for this thing, fellowship, I'll go for follow-up. When I get back to the class, because we have like, we submit like 13 assignments, practical assignments, because I study fine art every week. So it's either you're sculpting or you're drawing or you're painting something. And when I take my brush, I'll say, Holy Spirit. Because when I went for fellowship and evangelism, all my mates are in class. Fine art students don't come outside. You live in the studio. Yeah, you're getting it now. When I take my brush, Holy Spirit, there's an anointing for speed. Huh? Strengthen me and help me. I will leave them there when I go to sleep and I'm finished. You understand? When we passed out, several of my mates wanted me to give them jobs. Are you getting it now? The problem with most of us is that we are not excellent. And that's why what he's saying today, you need to take it to heart. We're not excellent. If ordinary washing plate, when you rinse the thing, it wasn't properly rinsed though. But because maybe they are doing Pamela or something, I don't know the name of the soap operas you watch. You know? Because they are doing something, you feel that the extra time that you should use to do that thing excellently, you think that somebody is killing you. Then you put a plate that's not properly rinsed into the sink. Or maybe we're into the plate rack. Then you go and sit down. Then when somebody wants to eat, 130 bobesi, before they announce that, can't you rinse this thing properly? It's because we are naturally not excellent. When Pastor Kolo was here yesterday and was telling about people abroad, Abby, the difference between us and them is what? Eh? What is the difference between a white man's movie and Nollywood? Tell me now. Excellence. When you're watching it, you will think that it's something that really happened. And we are not excellent because the black man is inherently lazy. We work more with our strength, but less with our minds. That's the problem. That's why you see somebody pushing truck. He's pushing a big load. He's smoking cigarettes and he's using pure water to cool down inside the sun. Because we don't think. Pastor said 5% of the world think. 95% think that they think. That's the point. So, can a Christian have first class? It's not a question. Sincerely speaking. What else should a Christian have? But when we are taking the course, encountering the spirit of excellence, we will talk about that. Okay? Because we will be showing you beyond Bible. Because many of you, all you know how to quote is Bible. Cook self. You cannot cook a pot of soup excellently. Excellence is a lifestyle. It's not just books. And you need to be an excellent person before you can be excellent in academics. It's as simple as that. Excellence is from excel. That is, go beyond the ordinary. Somebody that advises me told me, Abraham, the difference between an artist that's a genius and one that is just an artist, is the extra time and effort. You go over it again and again and again until you are true to yourself that I've done my best. So when you see my work, and when we are taking that course, I will show you some work that I've done. You will think that some Oyibo people did it. Excellence. And yet this is me, I'm a preacher. That's what I am.
But we are not excellent. That is our problem. We work for money. We don't work because it's our duty to work. Pastor said work makes us be like who? Like God. But we don't do that. So we are not excellent. Some people, they will die in fellowship on campus. Oh Lord, they are books, they won't read it. Then they will not have carryover. They will say that it is persecution. You understand? It's not persecution. It's stupidity, it's foolishness. You are selling maybe rice and beans. Let's say that you're a food seller. Eh? And you are selling food just like every other person else is selling food. There's no value that you're adding to it. Let me tell you, sprinkling water or anointing oil in your shop will not make you sell. We are so superstitious. Excellence. Why will you pray for one plate of rice smaller than the one that you eat at Yabuki's Buka at Tantalizers for 500 naira? Why? Huh? Because they took extra time to repackage it and do it properly. That's why. Some will even start putting African food since they know that, because the eateries abroad were not doing that. And I commend the person that first brought the idea. It's excellent. But we are not excellent as people. Are you excellent? Show me your wardrobe. I will know. Whether it's a Ghana must go, or that 10 naira bag, or a real wardrobe where you put your clothes is what? Right? But show it to me. Some of you, your clothes, they're like mountains. When you finish using them, oh God, how will somebody wash this? And you see you're excellent. So excellence is a lifestyle. Excellence actually has a lot to do with orderliness. You notice something with this Bible school? Every single course I was teaching you, it interwoven with the other ones that I've been teaching. Am I right or wrong? You can't leave one and you can't take one and leave. No, you can't. Show me your wardrobe. I will tell you whether in 5 minutes I'll tell you whether you're excellent or not. But show me where you keep your things. If it's scattered, I don't care the type of anointing. Eh? That you will have, you cannot go far. You must be orderly. Everything must be where it's supposed to be. Imagine if the sun is rising from the ground. Are we going to survive? Eh? Why is it that the same place that it rises from the east, that's where it rises from every day? Go and study this space, whatever. What's it called? Huh? Astrology. No, astronomy. No. Don't go and study astrology, please. That's stargazing, all those occultic stuff. Study astronomy. They will tell you that if the earth, planet earth, if it tilts a bit more from its original incline, maybe flood will affect South America and so place and so place. God did everything perfectly. Because God is what? An excellent God. And I'm answering your question and I'm angry. You understand? I'm not angry at you. I'm just angry at how we have reduced ourselves. Not being excellent does not glorify God in any way. It doesn't. It actually reduces your Christian testimony and it misrepresents Jesus. Because Jesus is excellent. When he finishes preaching, they say, this man is not teaching like all the scribes and Pharisees. He's speaking as one. With what? Authority. Some of the things that we're telling you here, that some of the things, some of these other people that say that they are born again and they teach you worldly principles when they gather you together like this. That's some of the things that we are saying. But you can see how we are saying it. Are we saying it to say, so that you can increase your financial base? Did you hear us say nonsense like that? Eh? Because we don't work for money. When you are an excellent person, money will do what? Money will chase you. That's the simple truth. That's the simple truth. There's a job I was doing for about, maybe I was supposed to do it for like 6 months. I found out that if I do it for 6 months, it won't be excellent. So I went to meet the people. I told them, I'm not going to be able to do it for 6 months. I'll do it for like a year. And they said, Abraham, no problem. It is you. You understand? That's integrity. But we are not excellent. That's our number one problem. You need to have a shift in your mindset.
It's not whatever, you don't understand. We grew up in a face, my face. You, where did you grow up? Is that not the same as that you grew up from? So don't come and tell me, you see, if only that I went to private schools. Most of you went to private schools. Me, I went to public schools all my life. That when it's raining, we'll be seeing rain on our field. We had no window. So that is our problem. We are not excellent in our reasoning. We are not. And we don't know that God demands it. God does what? The day you don't live excellently, that day you die. I'm sure you don't understand what I mean. If today passed now, and you have not been excellent in all the things you do, what did you do that day? You didn't live that day. You died that day. You died that day. I know a man. Yes, I'm sorry, but it just came like that. I'm sorry. I will call him Milo now. I know a man. He has become a pastor now. When you get into his house, you think a trailer has just passed inside that sitting room. The woman, I don't know whether it's that she's dirty or what sort of. You will see towel on the chair, a cup of gari that has fallen on its side, half of the content is outside, tea bag used 2 days ago on the floor somewhere beside. In fact, before you can sit down on the sofa, they have to clear things for you. I never told him because then I was very small and it was really, really old. And I used to wonder, what is wrong with these people? Praise the Lord. And I wondered if their sitting room is like that. Just imagine what their bedroom would be like.
And their life. Right. Thank God for that very critical addition. It was so, so critical. Yeah.
A question. Praise the Lord. I want to ask, can where you reside disallow the actualization of God's plan?
When?
Where you reside.
Okay.
Can it prevent God's plan for your life?
Wow, what a question. Where you reside, can it interfere with what God's...
Exactly.
With the plan God has for you.
Exactly.
Okay. When you look at the issue of purpose normally... we are actually resources in God's hand. Alright? And what happens to resources? What happens to resources? They are allocated. Resources are allocated. When you allocate a resource, that resource becomes fixated. That it stays in a position. As a resource in God's hand. Alright? You will be allocated, and you being allocated will mean that you have to be in a specific location. Do you understand? But don't worry about location now. You see, it is the Lord that... No, I gave you the analogy of the arrow. Do you understand? Once you have done what you need to do by not allowing these three things to interfere with your devotion to God, your devotion to Christ, and you are an arrow in God's hand, he's the one that is shooting you. He will decide where you ought to be. And you will know. Do you understand? So now, if the implication of that question is, okay, is it that where I am living now is hindering me from fulfilling God's purpose? I'm not the one to answer that question for you. You will understand that when the time comes. As you yield to these issues, alright, as you understand that there's a will of God for your life, there's what God wants to do with you, there's an area of endeavor for you, all of that, over time, will make you to realize that, at a point you now realize, okay, my time is up here, I need to go here. Do you understand? Because now, the continuation of my life and of my assignment is no longer here, but where? Here. You will know. It's not somewhere that anybody will tell you, or maybe perhaps you will read in a book, but the Lord will definitely lead you. And you see, I want you to guard every one of us. I want to beg you for this concerning this. Guard this matter jealously. The matter of being led by God. Let no man take that place for you. Let no man sit over your life as the one who is now leading you on what to do. No. It must only be God. Because once a man has now sat as the one who must get God for you, what has happened? They have interfered with your devotion to Christ. You are denying yourself the opportunity to be holy. I've already told us that. You can't be holy if you are not interacting with Jesus. Right.
Praise God.
Please give our sister. She was. I didn't see your hand first. Please help me to give her. I saw her hand. She's been raising it.
Thank you.
Yes.
Sorry, sir. During the course of your teaching, you mentioned, you made a statement. You said, you are not meant to know everything, but to discover your purpose. That's the target which God has. Now, my question is, having known your purpose and your target, which God has, you know, set you to achieve, and educationally now, you tend to gain admission into the university, yeah. And before this, before you discover, as in before you, before I came to understand this, as in I'm using myself now as yeah. a case study, you gained admission and you just want to read, for example, that's not my course, but for example, you just read, you want to read biochemistry, and what God actually wants you to read, which must align with your purpose, is English. And now you are in 300 level, and you are not reading that course. How? What do you do?
Good. That's a very. That question will apply to.
Or maybe levels. Now the university tells you that okay, the people in this department, accounting department, they are too much, so they want you to take the other department, and you don't have a choice. You have to just. Okay. So what do you do?
Right. Right. Now, let's read Luke chapter 2. Luke 2, 40 and 52. Luke chapter 2. Verse 40 says, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. 52 says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now, to answer the question, are we meant to know everything? Now, before we get to verse 52 in Luke chapter 2, did you read the account of Jesus answering the questions of the Pharisees and the Sadducees as a child? You know, he was 12 at this point. He was answering them, their questions, and he was teaching them. Do you understand? Did you read that part? When his mom were looking for him and they didn't find him, and they eventually came back and realized that they forgot him in Jerusalem. Now, what I want to bring out from there is this. What he was debating with them about, the things he was talking to them about, the questions he was answering. Can I ask you, what were they about? Definitely they're about, you know, since that was the old, that is the New Testament. The Bible then was what? Old Testament. So he was speaking to them and answering questions concerning the Old Testament. Now, so the matter is this. He is able to answer all their questions and able to teach them, because he knew he had read. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In Luke, in the same Luke chapter 4, Bible says he entered into the temple and he picked the scroll, because he knew where it was written about his life. He opened to Isaiah 61, I think, and he read it to them. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is what? Is upon me. And he kept reading and reading. He said, this day this scripture is fulfilled in your eyes. If you had not read it, you will not know where it is. Now, so once you have laid your hand on God's purpose and the target that God wants you to set, I said the other time that will immediately create a circumference around your life. Every knowledge that does not enter into that circumference, you do not need to pursue it. Because if you pursue it, what will happen? You'll be distracted. So you will need to be reading the things. Are you getting what I'm saying? That are in line with that purpose. That's number one. Secondly, somebody's already in 300 level. You're already reading a particular course. I want to I want to tell you about the issue of God's sovereignty. The Bible says the time of ignorance, God did what? He overlooked. The time when you were not attentive to realize that I should allow God to give me specific direction. Because God knew that you were not that conscious. In many ways, God was still directing many things you were doing. Do you understand? So, unless God speaks to you specifically now and say, my daughter, can you stop this? I'm going to start reading this. Please continue. Because you eventually find out that there was going to be a use for it. Just like it happened to Paul. Paul had, you know, read law and he was at the peak of his career as a lawyer. He didn't need to undo that because he met Jesus. Did he? It was still quite useful. Do you understand that? While he was pursuing the Lord and while he was pursuing his assignment as an apostle of Jesus Christ. So unless you have a specific, and you see, that's why the matter of specific leading, we always have to, because the way it is in the New Covenant and in the New Testament is this. Anything that you are being led of God about, if you submit your life to somebody who is ahead of you in his own pursuit of God and in his own pursuit of God's assignment for his life, they will confirm it. Are you hearing? Are you hearing? Anything. So that's why senior brothers in the Lord, senior sisters in the Lord, who are not planning to sit over you like the Pharisees. You know the Pharisees? They tie every burden on people. They can't lift it up with a finger. People who, they are not interested in trying to be chief and to be Lord over your life. They are only interested in guiding you. And they will never give you any impression that they want to, no. If you submit any leading of word that God is giving to you, they will always confirm it. So that's one thing we must always use to check the leadings of God we have. Because many times, what many of us call leading is maybe we have overslept and we have overeaten and we have... It's not. Many times, we are not led of God. We are led by our own spirit. Do you understand? So when you submit to a senior brother or a senior sister in the Lord, they may be able to discern and tell you, why don't you check again? Are we together on that? So, please, by all means, if you are already on a course in university, you need to continue. You need to continue unless God says, okay, divert into this other course. Or I have something else for you to do. That is personal to you. But you must continue. Any other question? Okay, round up. Yes. So let me now pray the final prayer. I want to thank God for this time we've had together. Our Father, we thank you for this morning that you have...
Having listened to the undiluted word of God, we implore you to respond to this message prayerfully. Remember, it is what you do with what you hear that brings about transformation. For further inquiries or counsel, or for more information on our discipleship labors, please contact us on
080-8133-8536,
080-7455-8177, 081-409-9121, or visit our blogspot at www.reformationplatform.com.
When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life